And if I can say it this way, is not only informative, but encouraging, and in my mind, fun, because of the beauty that is found in it. You know, we don't talk a lot about the seal of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot in the Lord's church unless it's at some lectureship or some special study seminar. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because the Holy Spirit truly is the main doctrine of the Bible. And the reason why it is the main doctrine of the Bible, because it is the Holy Spirit that inspired the men, 1 Peter chapter 1, to write. And as they wrote, they was borne along by the Spirit, and they wrote those things in which Jesus Christ said was going to be written of him. Jesus came to bear witness of the Father, and the Spirit came to bear witness of the Son, came to speak of the Son. Tonight I want us to talk about the seal of the Spirit. What is the seal of God? I hope and pray that you find this interesting, because this particular lesson here probably needs to be preached on a Sunday morning, because it would give not only great clarity to Christianity, but also it would bring things to make sense in our lives. When I was a kid, I remember a commercial that always came on. As a matter of fact, I used to chuckle at it all the time. Prego commercial. You remember, you used to say, it's in there. You remember that? And it was nothing like going to the store, and, you know, sometimes mom would make her own tomato sauce for the spaghetti. But every now and then, you know, if you wanted to do something quick, you go and you buy some Prego. And they have all of the ingredients in there. And that commercial used to say, it's in there. And sure enough, it was. It tasted good. You think about something that the older generation used to say, the proof is in the pudding. Y'all remember that? They used to say that all the time. The proof is in the pudding. Meaning you, what you saw is what you got. As I was thinking about this, I thought about, you know, those Ziploc bags that we buy. You know, they have those colors on there, and when you make them real tight, it seals up everything that's on the inside. It's for the protection of that was on the inside. And the last thing you really want to do is to go to Family Dollar and buy one of those cheap boxes of, bags. Because they just don't seal when you put them in the refrigerator. You come back, and sometime a day or two later, stuff is leaking out of it. You know, you do get what you pay for. Well, you think about the seal of the Spirit. I want us to keep in mind that that's kind of what this is like. Remember back in the 80s and 90s, those of y'all who are old enough to remember this, there was this Tylenol scare. And remember, someone was contaminating the Tylenol, and people were actually dying because someone was putting some type of poison inside of the Tylenol. So Tylenol came out with a seal and said, if the seal is broken, do not partake, do not use. You know, when we consider the seal of the Spirit, I want us to consider some things. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 13, number 1, the Bible there teaches us that there is a sealing that goes on. In a few minutes, we'll talk about what this seal is, but I want us to take focus on in verse number 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Notice that key point. The gospel of your salvation, deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from sin, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Believed what? Believed the gospel of truth. The word of truth. Who is the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What is this? What is this promise that we're talking about? It's the guarantee. What guarantee? Guarantee that is associated with something that's very powerful. Now, we have to go from one passage to another to gain this chain of reasoning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want us to read verses 1 through 8. Please turn in your Bibles. Y'all turn with me. I guarantee you, you'll appreciate this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, we see something that's very powerful in these particular passages. For we know that our earthly house, this tent, this tabernacle is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Notice where? Eternal in the heavens. We don't have it yet. It's eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, our home, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, in this tabernacle, this body that we're in right now, this flesh that we're in, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. That mortality, that is this flesh, that is this life down here, may be swallowed up by life. That's eternal life there. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Notice that language? He has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Well, what is this guarantee? What is he talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8? He's talking about the resurrection. Talking about a new body. And one thing we know, being in this body, the soul being in this body, is groaning. It's yearning to get outside of this body and go to another body. Number two, I want us to further our chain of reason. How are we sealed? In John chapter 6 and verse number 27, notice what Jesus has to say. Y'all stay with me. I guarantee you, you have a better understanding of what the seal of the Spirit is. In John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27, notice what your Bible says. Jesus answered them, here, this is during the discourse of him talking about the bread from heaven. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures, notice, to everlasting life. Now notice, the food is not everlasting life, it endures towards everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. On who? On him. The one that is going to be giving you this food that's going to endure to eternal life. Well, let's see what this is. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Look at verses 16 through 18 as we notice this very subtle point, yet powerful point that the Apostle Paul makes to the Roman brethren. I believe that when we consider these particular passages, 16 through 18, this is where it all sums up right here. In Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, notice what your Bible there has to say. Do you not know that to whom you present your bodies, slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey? Listen to that language, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness, meaning being declared right before God or with God, rather. But God be thanked that though you were, that's past tense, slaves of sin, you have obeyed from the what? The heart, that form of teaching which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Now notice, the key is in the phraseology, that form of teaching. You think about that word there, literally in the Greek, carries the idea of a stamp. A stamp of teaching. Now this is interesting, friends, because it is a stamp of teaching that is going to deliver us. That stamp of teaching, well, What is it about this stamp of teaching? This tupas, if you will. This form of doctrine. Friends, in John chapter 3, notice verse number 33. What is this form of teaching? In John chapter 3, verse number 33, we know for a fact that this form of teaching is vitally important, and we know whom it came from. Start at verse number 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Who came from heaven? Jesus. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, that he bears witness of, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. This is interesting. Whoever receives the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, literally, testifies that God is true. Everyone doesn't testify that God is true. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. As we continue this chain of reasoning, some things, friends, as we are reading the Word of God, is not just going to outright say what we believe or think it's going to say. We have to have a chain of reasoning. Why? Because line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. How do we know that we have the stamp of God's teaching on our hearts? How do we know that we have been sealed by the Spirit of God? 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. Stop. Why is he saying this? Because of the message that was being spread by Hymenaeus and Philetus, Brother Rick, that the resurrection had already passed. That was a message that was stamping the hearts of the individuals and whom Paul was telling Timothy about. Their faith was being shipwrecked. So how do we know that we have been sealed? How do we know that God has sealed us? Here it is. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who has named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How do I know that I have been sealed by the Spirit? I depart from iniquity. Now think about this. This particular study and this particular concept that God is teaching us in the Word literally shows us who are God's people and who are not God's people. Just like when you look at a seal on a bottle, everyone who sees that seal can see it. They know it's there. And they know that whatever that seal is protecting, it is on the inside. What is the Spirit sealing? The Holy Spirit is sealing that which is on the inside. Now, I want us to take this thought even a little further. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 8, we know for a fact that God knows those who are his. Even under the old system, under the 12 patriarchs, in Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 8. I'm not going to read all of this. But you go back and you read these particular passages. I'll read verses 3 and 4, and this will give you an idea of the rest of those passages. Here we see, matter of fact, I started verse number 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He saw that seal, didn't he? I want us to keep that in mind. Ponder that for a second. This is not something that was told. This is something that he saw. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, sea, nor trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Something that can be seen. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Something that could be seen. You read the rest of those passages and it tells you all the 12 tribes of Israel who were sealed by God, and God knew exactly who was sealed. Those who were his. Number three, as we continue this chain of reasoning, chapter 5 and verse number 1. This seal is visible to all. And I saw in his right hand, of whom sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with the 7 seals. He saw those things. Friends, those who have been sealed by the Spirit, they know it, and others will know it as well. Now, I want us to keep that in mind, that whatever the seal is, it's visible for all to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as we illustrate this external point of being sealed, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 2, notice what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian brethren. Notice what he says. He says, "Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." What is Paul saying? I taught you the gospel. As a matter of fact, the very fact that you are Christians validate my apostleship. I taught you the scriptures. I taught you about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was evident that I am an apostle, and it's evident that you have been sealed by the Spirit of God. Number 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. Notice what your Bible there has to say as we continue this thought. And friends, it gets gooder and gooder after this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start at verse number 20 for time's sake through verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says. And friends, this concept is not that difficult, but we have allowed a denominational teaching to make this difficult. For all of the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Here it is. Now he who establishes us, he's talking about the apostles, with you in Christ, has anointed us, meaning appointed us, consecrated us, gave us this job, if you will, is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts. Notice where the seal is, in our hearts, as a what? As a guarantee. Well, what is this guarantee? What is this? Well, you go back to that Romans 6:17. It's that stamp of teaching in their hearts. Well, here we understand that the apostles received power from God. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 1. They were inspired by God. They received the Spirit, the power of God, but they also received something else. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Here we'll see the reason why they received this sealing, if you will. And friends, this is powerful right here. And everyone cannot say this, but the children of God can. Starting at verse number 12, ending at verse number 16. Why are we sealed? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Stop. Let's think about this for a second. We are not to live according to the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21 tells us the works of the flesh. We are not to live according to the carnal minded thinking. But notice what he goes on to say. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It tells us how to walk according to the Spirit. Here we see, for the law, verse number 2, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. We understand that God sent forth a law. That law of instruction teaches us how to live. when we allow that stamp of God's teaching to govern our thinking, as we submit to it, then we begin to walk according to the Spirit's teaching. Go back to Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 15. I'm sorry, verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Friends, there's nothing miraculous about this. We can be led by the Spirit of God even today. But you got to go to the source that God has left us. God himself is the one that is the mind behind the word of God, John 12, verse 48. Holy Jesus Christ is the one who came to deliver the word of God, to die for the sins of mankind. The Holy Spirit was sent to inspire the men to write. And now we have the word of God that teaches us how to be God's people. Notice the end of this passage. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hold on, Paul, what are you telling these Roman brethren in the first century? That if you are not led by the Spirit of God, you are not the sons of God? That's exactly what he is saying. You could tell a difference between the sons of God and those who were not the sons of God? The answer is yes. Hold on. There is a distinction between the sons of God and those who are not the sons of God. Friends, there is a distinct difference between the two. There is this problem that we got going on today that the church wants to be so closely connected to those who are not children of God that you can't tell the difference. However, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through verse number 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. There is a stark difference between the sons of God and the sons of men. How do we know that? Look at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out. What is the purpose of being sealed? The purpose of being sealed is so we can cry out, Abba, Father. Everyone, Brother Randy, can't say that. Everyone in the world can't call God Father. Everyone in the world is not adopted by God, because it is God who sets forth the precedence, sets forth the law, the instruction that puts us in a position that we can call God Father. Friends, this is a powerful, powerful concept. Therefore, John chapter 6 and verse 27, again, we work for that spiritual food. Going back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, we understand that we have an inheritance. We have something to look forward to. Friends, we have an inheritance, but we have not obtained that inheritance yet. It is life. Life with God in the eternal, life with God in that new body. And friends, this is why we shouldn't grieve the Spirit of God. This is why we're looking forward to that resurrected body. But drop down to verse number 22 through 25 in Romans chapter 8. Here it gets even better. Notice what he says. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the what? The adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Verse 24, for we are saved in this hope. What hope? That hope of knowing that our bodies are going to be redeemed. Friends, God is going to change our bodies. It's interesting that here, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through verse number 25, how he connects the resurrected body with the groaning and also the inheritance and also being sealed. Friends, we got something to look forward to. You know, I think about some of our bodies and how they are breaking down. We wake up with these pains. Brother Jerry prayed an excellent prayer. Appreciate that prayer about being tempted. That's because of the flesh and the spirit warring with one another. When we're trying to bring our bodies under subjection, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Friends, just know that the very fact that God's word is in your heart and you are allowing God's word to govern your life, therefore it is sealing you, it is protecting that which is on the inside. And it is vitally evident for all men to see, and the reason why is because you are saying no to sin and yes to righteousness, holiness, justification, and redemption. That's powerful, Rick. And that also tells us, friends, that everybody can see something that is different between me and everyone else who is around me. If I blend into those who have not been sealed by God, it says a lot about me. Paul is saying there was a difference. There is a difference, rather, between the sons of men and the sons of God. Many in the Lord's church are listening to denominational thinking. And say, well, we're all in this together. We're all sinners. I am not a sinner. I'm a saint. And friends, we need to stop talking like that. Because the way that we think, the way that we talk, what has been stamped in our hearts is what's going to be lived out in our lives. You are what you think. Just like you are what you eat. And this is why we have to eat the word of God, John 6, verses 25 through verse number 27. And what that's going to do is going to catapult us unto eternal life. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Let's finish this off. Verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. We hang in there. We hold on. And what we do is we overcome. Friends, what a powerful concept. Truly, when we stop and we consider Romans chapter 6, verse 17, that form of teaching which gives us the promise of the inheritance, which gives us the assurance of the resurrected body. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want that resurrected body. I want that body that will not ever die and always live with the Lord. I want to be a person, and I know you want to be a people who are distinctly different than those who are not living according to the word of God. And this is why it does matter what we think. It does matter what we read. It does matter what we imbibe. Revelation 22 and verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says as we make some closing comments. Here, notice what the Bible says in Revelation 22. As a matter of fact, we'll start at verse number 7. Behold, I am coming quickly, Jesus says. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this, of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you don't do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's interesting when you go to the book of Daniel, God tells Daniel, or the angel of the Lord tells Daniel, to seal up the book. Here he says, you hold it open until the right time. Friends, we hang in there until time seals everything up. And when time is done, then we'll be able to live with God. If we have definitely determined to be sealed by the Spirit of God, which comes forth through the stamping of his word on our hearts, we can tell a difference. We can see it, and those who are among us, around us, ought to be able to see it as well. You know what that also says? That if my life is not governed by the word of God and people see it, don't get mad if they call you out on it, because they ought to be able to see it. Jesus, it was seen that he was the Son of God, that God was his Father, that he had the words of God in his, on his lips, and they ought to be able to see it on us. So with that being said, 1 John 4 and verse number 4, I leave you with this passage. 1 John 4 and verse number 4. You are of God, little children, talking to y'all, talking to me, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Friends, I know for a fact that if we can just keep God's word in our hearts, if we can stamp it on our minds, then we can be sure enough overcomers. We can overcome anything that we're dealing with, any temptation. We can overcome anything that we have to deal with as it relates to someone coming against us because of the stance that we take for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. People ought to be able to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. If not, as Foy E. Wallace would say, why not? Friends, God knows those who are his, and those who are around us ought to know who are his, and we ought to know that we are his. And no wonder we can know that we are saved because of what God has said in his word. Are you sealed? Friends, you ought to be able to see it, and everybody else ought to be able to see it too. With this teaching, it's encouraging to me because I praise God that God has set me aside. Can you say the same thing? Can your family members say the same thing? Can your friends say the same thing? Which means that you ought to hear it in their speech. You ought to see it in their lifestyle. You ought to see it in the judgments and the decisions that they make. That person there thinks like God. How about us? If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be a child of God so you can be set aside and that you can obtain that inheritance, the inheritance of eternal life, the inheritance of having the privilege of calling God Abba, Father. What a blessing. Oh no, he's not our daddy. He's our father. We respect him. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God himself will add you to his son's church. Give you all spiritual blessings. Give you a family in Christ. Set you on your way back home to glory. What a blessing. But maybe a child of God and, well, in your mind, you don't know if you're saved. Friends, if you don't know that, you know, if you don't know if you're saved, probably those who are around you can also tell that you're not. We can know. John said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you are saved. We don't have to guess. We don't have to feel. We don't have to think. We can go to God with great boldness and confidence. Father, thank you for saving me and setting me aside. Thank you. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.